Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
The Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. We are at East River 9. We are inside the River House. Great food. I just scarfed down some redfish tacos. Those were very good. Joe's leaving, though. One show, Joe's out of here. And instead, we have a living legend, an icon, the greatest of all time in the city of Houston, Mark Berman, doing some sports radio with us. Thank you for doing this, Mark. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, but you went a little over the top just then.
I don't think so. I think I sold it short.
No, it's over the top.
Have you ever done sports talk? I know you've done TV. I know you've done radio sports broadcasting.
I've done it like with you guys on the phone one time or a couple, stuff like that. Nothing like this.
All right, good. We need you to be as ruthless as possible.
But I'm not
as
ruthless.
Hot takey as possible, as spicy as you can be. Can you give us that?
I'm not ruthless.
I disagree. I've heard some stories.
I'm a Houston homer.
That's okay. So is everybody that does this.
Right.
Everybody that does this is a Houston homer, Mark.
Right.
No big deal. So Mark calls me. We had planned for this. Mark calls me at about 9 this morning. I'm like, okay, what does Mark want? What's he gonna tell me here?
You thought I was going to bail.
I thought you were going to bail, but you were so eager to see me that you got everything taken care of this morning.
Well, what happened was I never come to Houston very much, or very doctor's appointments, things like that. And as luck would have it, last night I was at dinner and I went out to my car and my low beams on my car stopped working.
Uh-oh.
So my son and I are driving home and everybody's mad at me because my brights are on.
How do you know they're mad at you?
Because they're flashing.
They were flashing you?
Oh, yeah. All the way home. It was embarrassing. And so this morning I took my car to Kingwood Service Center in Kingwood, where I go and have been going for decades. And they took care of me. Derek, Mitch, and Mike, took those guys over there, do a fantastic job. Very professional, very honest. And they just got me. They fixed my lights. And here I am. Otherwise, I was not going to drive home from Houston to where I live and have everybody mad at me because my brights are on.
I could have took you home.
Yeah, right. What do I do with my car?
I don't know. We'll figure that out later. No, probably not.
I went to Kingwood Service Center. They got me done. If you live in that neck of the woods, that's where you should be going. If you don't, there's something wrong with you.
Livable forest.
That too.
They call that.
That's
they call
right.
that Kingwood. Where'd you go to dinner last night?
Texas Roadhouse.
Okay. That's where Brian McDonald went to college.
Which is where?
Texas Roadhouse University.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He's a Longhorn fan. Where did you go to school, Brian? I went to Texas Roadhouse University. So it's funny that you ate there because he went to school there.
Okay.
Brian McDonald.
Okay.
And then I called you just now. Whenever we got here, you know, there was a train that's stuck on the road, so you had to go around it. And I said, you beat me here by about 10 minutes.
Right.
And I thought it was funny because I was like, hey, I'll be there 10 minutes. You said you're going to wait for me and that you have a book to read.
Uh-huh.
So people like, I guess, my generation and younger, we don't read books. We just death scroll on Twitter and we death scroll on TikTok. So you read books whenever you're waiting for people, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's very...
Yeah, old school.
I like that, though.
You do?
Yeah, that's very resourceful, I think, is the best way to say that.
Well, it's fiction. It's just stuff I like to read.
Oh, okay.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a big fiction guy.
Okay.
But I like your idea of reading books while you're waiting for things. Like, it's a good way to, like, educate yourself.
No, I think enhance yourself. I'm just bored.
Yeah, you had me until you said fiction. Then you lost me there.
Well, that's okay.
That's what I like. We're at East River 9 until 6 o'clock. Mark Berman and I, unless I chase him off before then, which is possible,
yeah.
I think it's a possibility of that. Do you do much golfing, Mark?
No. When I did play, I set the sport back 50 years. So, no, I love the history of the game. I like to watch it. I'm terrible, so I don't play.
Who is your favorite golfer?
Well, oh, gosh, that's a good one. You know,
it's what I do.
Everybody else, Tiger, Phil.
Tiger or Jack, who was better?
Jack back in the day. Well, who was better?
Yeah, who was better?
It's hard to say. I guess Jack, he had more majors.
He did have more majors.
You know, right? About, what, three?
Less
maybe?
Mistresses, too.
Well, less drama.
Less drama as
I'll
well.
I'll let you use that word. Less
drama's
drama.
The way to go. That's it's more PC. Probably the best way to put it. No, I love golf. I love golf. We don't talk much golf because it's kind of niche. You know, like people don't love to talk about golf. They love talking about Tiger, but Tiger's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit.
Well, I'm trying.
Bit.
I've asked stuff you, like that. I hadn't thought much about it, but there are other golfers I like too. I just got to think about who I really like. But I like Rory McIlroy a lot.
Yeah, he can play a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think about Liv? You okay with that?
No, I don't like
that.
I don't like that. No, I hate it. When Rory would come to Houston once in a blue moon, we were out there covering him, and he was really good to cover. Very nice guy.
Rory was.
Very down to earth. He was.
Really?
I'm just telling you what it was like dealing with him.
No, I believe you. I'm not calling you a liar.
Right. Well, I know that. There were others who were not so much fun to be with.
Who was the worst one?
Oh, I don't want to go down that road.
We got to be spicy today, Mark.
Huh?
My uncle used to do security for Phil Mickelson at those things, and he said Phil was a really nice guy, too.
Tremendous.
Was he?
Tremendous. Great guy. I didn't enjoy being around Jordan Spieth.
Okay. That's interesting.
You know, he wasn't a lot of fun. Tiger was – I mean, I was only around Tiger a couple of times. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. There was one time he had that golf course out there where Magnolia somewhere.
Was it Blue Jack?
Blue Jack. I was there with him one time. That was okay. He was cool then.
Yeah. We were selling stuff then.
it was me and others, not just me.
I got you. Somebody said a junkie on the text line. We call people who listen to our show, Mark, and I trust that you listen to us each and every day, three hours a day. So I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But we call the people who listen to our show the junkies.
Okay.
Because they have to be junkies to listen to us. Texts are saying that Mark is a junkie. I already know that to be true.
I'm a junkie?
Yeah, because you listen to us, Mark.
Okay, all right.
Which we've already established that you do each and every day from 3 to 6,
all right.
Monday through Friday.
Right.
Somebody else said get Mark to break down Dickinson versus North Shore. I'm sure you've seen plenty of Texas high school football games on a Friday night in your career.
Not really.
Really?
I mean, I'd be working.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You were out there, though, right?
No, at games.
You wouldn't go to the games?
I would go if – no. I'd be working.
That's
be in the,
shocking
I'd
me.
Be in the studio.
You'd send a camera guy.
Well, yeah.
You'd send a camera guy,
right.
And then you report
I mean,
on
I
it.
Did go to some games if it was playoffs in the afternoon.
Okay.
You know, at Rice Stadium or at different places around the city.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that you were busy Friday night.
I mean, I didn't go to a lot when I was working at Fox. I didn't go to I was at Minute Maid Park or Daikin Park all the time, but I wouldn't be there for very many games.
Yeah.
I would leave before the game started because I had to go anchor. Had to
you'd
work.
Be back.
Had to write.
And you'd have a camera guy there.
Oh, yeah. We'd have people there.
B-roll, right? That's what they call it, B-roll?
Yeah.
I call it JB-roll.
Why?
Because my initials are JB.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You were at dinner yesterday at Texas Roadhouse where Brian went to college. So you might not have seen this Lions-Cowboys game.
Lions, no, I watched that game
last night. Did you
watch it? Yeah. Yes, I did.
How? You were at dinner.
I got home before the game started.
What time do you eat dinner? 4?
It was, about 4 or 5 o'clock. That's exactly right.
I thought I was joking.
I have to be done eating by 6 or 6:30.
You are looking good.
Well, thank you.
You do look very good. You look far better than the last time I saw you.
Well, I've dropped 38. Part of the reason is I'm not stressed out 24/7.
That's a good point. Stress kills you.
Kills you.
It kills you. So what did you think of that game last night? I mean, it was a big game, NFC playoff implications. Both teams pretty desperate for a victory.
I think so.
A shootout. Lions ended up winning 44-30. What was your hot take watching that game?
I thought they're – what is it, Gibbs, the Lions running back?
He's
pretty
a stud.
Amazing. He's pretty amazing. Hey, did you see CD get hurt? Kid from Houston. He's from here.
That's right.
He had a concussion, I
think.
Yeah,
he got a brain injury.
Well, he had a concussion.
That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
What is a concussion, Mark?
I don't know.
It's a bruised brain.
That sounds worse.
It does. That's why I say it.
Oh, okay.
I'm a shock jock, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, he bruised. That was bad, though. He kind of turtled up. Did the whole, what do they call it? The fencing. Remember Tua?
I didn't notice that, but I knew it was
he
ugly.
Did it a little bit. Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it's probably going to be a couple of weeks. Unless he's C.J. Stroud, then it might be 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
It might be. I couldn't bait you on that one. Cowboys, though, their playoff chances look pretty minimal now. 6-6-1. They had that weird tie.
I think that Prime Sports said if they lost last night, it was 9%.
It was a 9% impact in the game. It feels like it'd be more than that.
About 9%.
That's interesting because – the 49ers are currently the last wild card team at 9-4. The Cowboys at 6-6-1 are 2.5 games back. That's going to be tough for them. That's going to be a tough hole. And the NFC's loaded. Like, every team in the NFC that's in the playoff, really the top 8, are very, very good. It's a tough conference. It's a deep conference.
Texas have a chance. They have a chance still.
Yeah, they're not in the NFC, though.
Oh, you said NFC. I thought you said AFC.
No, they have a really good show. We'll talk plenty about
I know they're in the AFC. Thank you very much.
I don't know if you're going to be here till 6 o'clock.
It's going to be tough.
Well, I said NFC, and then you jumped to the Texans,
Mark. Well, I thought you said AFC.
No, I said NFC.
Okay.
So, do we need to turn up your headsets here?
No, it's
We'll talk plenty about the Texans coming up, though. They go to Arrowhead. It's going to be cold there at Arrowhead on Sunday. We'll talk about preventative measures, how to keep the cold away. Because you've been in a bunch of cold, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in a bunch of cold, too.
I've been in Green Bay. I've been in Kansas City.
One of the big talking points coming from yesterday's game was George Pickens. Richard Sherman crushed him after the game. Like, oh, he's not trying hard. He's loafing. He's not playing with, you know, as much urgency as he could. Here's what Richard Sherman had to say on Amazon Prime after the game about George Pickens.
The big story here is George Pickens. George Pickens throughout the game, especially late in the game, just looked uninterested in playing football. You know, and that's what you can't have. If you're going to be a superstar, if you want to be the best receiver in the National Football League, you can never be disengaged. It doesn't matter if the game's going your way or not going your way. You can't just disappear in these games or else you're not going to have impact. And just right here, cruising routes. You're the guy. You're the guy. CeeDee Lamb is not in this game. He's out. And you get intercepted on your slant routes. And you can't be the guy and half-ass it. I'm sorry, that's just, you can't, it's unacceptable, and if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at him and you're looking to pay him big-time receiver money, $40 million, you got to look at this tape and say, hey, is this a guy we can trust paying $40 million to show up regardless of circumstance? I don't know.
Would you pay him $40 million?
I don't know, but Richard Sherman, right, you got to be critical if you want to get paid well. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He wants clicks.
Yeah, he's in the opinion business.
Right, so he's Mr. Negative.
But I think I agree with his opinion.
I don't know.
Like George Pickens, Pittsburgh traded away George Pickens, right?
I mean, I watched the game. I don't see the guy loafing out there.
I thought there was that one pass on the deep post late in the game where he kind of just melded in.
I don't know how people can accuse someone of loafing. How do you know? You can't call inside their brain.
I mean, you don't see him running that hard.
Oh, I mean,
they're coasting.
Whatever.
Like, Mark, you mean, what if a, like...
No, I've watched guys, they accuse him of not playing hard. Yeah. I don't see it. But a guy like Richard Sherman, he's a clown. He just wants to be tough.
That's fair. Legion of Boom. He was in the Legion of Boom. But, I mean, you see guys, like, running down to first base. You can tell when a guy's busting it or not.
Okay, in a situation like that, that can be obvious.
Yeah.
It's not so obvious on the football field, I don't think. To me.
That's fair. My thing with...
I'm glad you didn't say it was unfair.
My thing with Pickens, though, is I wouldn't pay him anyways. Like, I don't think it's a really good roster construction.
Actually, he's a Cowboy. He's a Cowboy, so I don't care.
You want them to be poor and bad?
I don't care.
But can I tell you why I don't think they should pay him?
Oh, if you want to.
I don't think that you should pay two receivers in the NFL. I think it's very difficult to build a really good roster whenever you spend a big chunk of your money on two receivers. We see it in Cincinnati. Cincinnati pays Burrow. They pay Chase. They pay Higgins, and they have nothing else.
Let Jerry Jones do it and mess up his salary cap.
That's a good point. Like, if you're rooting for them to be bad,
absolutely,
go ahead and do it. The other thing that would scare me, though, Mark, of spending money on George Pickens, Pittsburgh literally traded him. Like, he ran himself out of town in Pittsburgh because he was so miserable to be around. He was so miserable to be around that they traded him. And I think that George Pickens might be trying to act nice in a contract year. Like, contract year, let me be on my best behavior, let me get paid, and then all of a sudden you go back to the antics that you had in Pittsburgh. I already was on the train that I'm not paying George Pickens. I'm even more on the train that I wouldn't pay George Pickens now.
Why do you care?
Well, we talk football.
Oh, okay.
We talk football. What would we do if we were the Cowboys?
It's the Cowboys.
If you were Jerry Jones, would you pay George Pickens?
Jerry's got bigger fish to fry.
George, the thing with Jerry is that he always just wants to be like the in the spotlight. Like, he wants to be more of in the spotlight than he cares about winning games.
He was cool to cover.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your favorite story with him?
Well, just the different times at owners' meetings when the Texans were – when Bob McNair was chasing a team, that kind of thing. And he always played to the crowd, so he knew where we were from, which reporters were, what city they were in. And he would say all the right things. So he was fun to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, he would give you content. He would give you good
absolutely
stories.
Absolutely he would.
Yeah, I like that too. Texter says George Pickens left because they couldn't get a quarterback either. Let's not forget that content. I mean, they got Rodgers. They eventually got Rodgers at some point.
He needs to quit.
You think Rodgers should quit?
Sure.
He's better than Mason Rudolph, though.
Well, that's their problem.
Did you see Rodgers the other day when he had, like, the broken wrist and he was bleeding out of the nose?
Yeah, whatever.
I felt a little bad for him.
Didn't he say he's had enough of the public life, that when he once he quits, he's done?
You believe him?
He needs to be done.
Because he's no good anymore?
Just move on.
Well, but why? Why do you want him to move on?
You just kind of get tired of his antics.
Fair enough. I think a lot of people
I don't
have
even know why
opinion.
We're talking about him. He's with the Steelers. Who cares?
Because of Pickens.
You talk about football, right?
Okay. Well, Pickens got us there. Because we were talking about George Pickens. He left Pittsburgh because he couldn't
get
a quarterback.
How does that get us to the Texans and the Chiefs?
You want to talk about Texans and Chiefs?
Well, sure, why not?
All right, we'll do that. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. You can watch along on ESPN Houston, our YouTube. You can watch twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. When was the last time you were on Twitch, Mark?
I don't even know what that is.
Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Mark, you can follow him on Twitter at @MarkBerman_. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You can find us there on Twitter at ESPN97.5 as well. We'll get to a lot of stuff. We'll get to Bad Take Boulevard a little bit later. The worst takes of the week. I asked Mark, what's one thing you want to talk about today? He said he wants to talk about the Cougar basketball team. So we'll talk about the Cougars basketball a little bit later as well. Favorite storylines ahead of Texans and Chiefs. But coming up next, did you see some of these some of the methods that these players go to protect themselves from the cold? We'll talk about some of that. Also, Hannah McNair has a new podcast. I don't know if you caught this. She interviewed Jamila Ryans on her podcast today. We'll discuss that as well. 713-780-3776. Mark Berman in for Joe George. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe George today. He can only do one show a day. One show, Joe, we call him. He's on his way to Louisiana. We got Mark Berman, the greatest of all time, filling in for Joe. You can follow him on Twitter at @MarkBerman_. Why does it make you uncomfortable? I call you the greatest of
because
all time.
Because it's not. That's garbage.
The greatest of all time in Houston.
How do you know? I don't know that.
It's my opinion.
Okay. Well,
There's not a single sportscaster I would have ahead of you.
Okay. That's fine. It just feels uncomfortable. How about that?
I get that. I don't. People say that stuff about me all the time. Oh, you're the best. You're the greatest. We love you, Branham. There's no one better. I'm like, guys, stop it. Don't do that anymore.
Well, I didn't say that. Although you do a great job on basketball play-by-play.
Yeah, just
I'll
not
give
sports
you that.
Talk radio. I got it. Right. How long were you working at Fox?
37 years.
And you've been retired how long now?
2.5.
How much do you enjoy it?
It's killer. Trust me, I could never go back to that life again.
Oh, you mean the job was a killer?
No. Being retired's great.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, look, I get to follow my favorite teams without I don't have to be impartial anymore. I get to follow my favorite reporters who cover things like Brian McTaggart at MLB.com.
Go Cougs.
Like Chris Baldwin at Paper City. Covers all things Cougars, second to none. You know, Jonathan Alexander and DJ Bienemy cover Texans. You know, yeah. Those guys. You know, all those guys. Brian covers the Astros, does a fantastic job. I like following those guys, see what they do, along with following my favorite teams, all of them.
So you watch, I mean, it sounds like you watch a lot of sports.
I do, absolutely.
You're not one of those that's like, okay, I'm retiring from the sports business and I'm going to, like, garden.
Well, I do garden, but I don't.
Oh. I didn't know that.
I do whatever my wife wants me to do. For 30 years, I didn't do anything but work. So now my job is take care of her. Whatever she wants, I do. And, of course, my daughter's been texting me on the phone, ripping me, saying I'm not being cooperative with you.
Yeah. She's right. Yeah, you should listen to her a little bit more often.
I don't have a choice.
The text line, 713-780-3776. Mark sounds like the get-off-my-lawn guy. A junkie said that. Is that fair? Clint Eastwood?
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, get off my lawn like you're the angry old man. Get off my lawn. You remember?
Well, I mean, I get it, but no, that's not me.
Well, that junkie thought so. Another junkie, we love Mark, straight shooter. So there you go.
Okay.
You got a little love there.
I guess that's what I am. I don't know.
Anyway, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Mark out here at East River 9 inside the River House. Great food, great drinks. Mark has a pretentious water that he is drinking.
Why is that pretentious?
I mean, look at it. I mean, I asked for tap. You asked for that alkaline water.
Some kind of bottled water. Well, they said Dasani. That's not what I got.
Vapor distilled water is what you're drinking.
Okay.
You enjoy that in retirement. See, back in the days when you were working, you drink the good old tap like me.
No, I drank Diet Coke. Oh, doesn't work with the diet.
Fair enough. So the Texans are going to be playing Kansas City on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And unlike
Sunday
John McClain, who's Mr. Negative, and picking the Chiefs by three, I'm picking the Texans by seven.
Oh, since you brought up John McClain. So you're picking the Texans by seven?
That's right.
And he picked the Chiefs by three?
Of course, because he's Mr. Negative.
So every time that I bet against the Texans, they win this year. So I've been betting against the Texans so they continue to win.
Well, that's okay.
You can thank me for the Texans winning streak.
So not Davis Mills for those three straight wins,
it was you. Why would you? Yeah, you can't trust a long neck.
Well, whatever you want to call him, did a hell of a job coming off the bench.
I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek here. He did a fantastic job. I mean, how many backup quarterbacks go 3-0, you know?
Well, not many.
And my thought with a backup quarterback is if you win half your games, you're doing a good job. That's my standard for a good backup quarterback. If you win half of the games where you start, I don't even care if they come into a game because you weren't game planning. They didn't build a game plan for you. I think it's very difficult. I don't even care if they come into a game and lose. But if you're starting three, four, five, six games and you win half of them, job well done.
Well, he had a job well done.
He did great. He did fantastic. D'Amico's doing a great job too. But so you're picking the Texans by three or by seven?
Well, by seven, you know, the Chiefs may be missing three of their frontline offensive linemen, which means the Texans defense, which is already the best in the league, or one of. Well, the best stat-wise, right?
Yes, just they're the best.
They should be licking their chops.
I went back and watched last year's game.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to make Patrick Mahomes wish he was back making commercials.
Okay, I like it. See, that's the spice I was looking for. Very good. Although I'm not sure he stopped making commercials. I think he still does.
I said he needs to go make some more.
He does. He needs to make some.
Maybe after Sunday, he'll need more of that insurance he's pushing.
So I went back and I watched yesterday's playoff game. Texans should have won that game. You remember last year's playoff game at Arrowhead? The Texans very easily could have won that game. Kyamie Fairbairn had missed a field goal. He had a field goal blocked. He also missed an extra point.
What about the year they were up by, what, three touchdowns at the half?
See, I never thought they were going to win that game, though. Even whenever they had that big
lead.
They
should have won that game.
Should have, sure. But I never trusted that they were going to, ever. I never trusted it was 24-0.
I don't know what it was. It was awful.
Bill O'Brien. Oh, well. I didn't trust Bill O'Brien in a big game. Even when they were up 24-0 on the road at Arrowhead, I did not have any faith they were going to win that game even when they were winning. I was like, maybe. But I never had complete faith.
You know, I was there. I didn't see it that way. I thought they had a game. I thought they were in control.
Sure.
That's what I thought. I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
24-0. Of course, I was in Buffalo, too, when the Oilers got beat. I thought they were in control there, too.
You were at both of those games?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you need to stop going to games.
Well, I do.
Yeah,
I don't go to anything.
You're the reason that
I go to one or two games a year, period.
So you've been to a lot of cold places. I mean, you were at Arrowhead when they were up 24-0. You were at Buffalo whenever they had the big lead.
I've been in Green Bay where it's really cold.
Is that the coldest? What's the coldest?
I guess – I don't know what year it was. You know, I have a terrible memory, but I'm going to think that at the Packers was the coldest game I've ever been to. And so, about more than one there. You know, I've been in Buffalo where it was really cold. It's miserable.
I think the coldest one I've been to was the U of H Independence Bowl a few years ago.
When I was in college, I was at the Cotton Bowl when UH was kicking everybody's butt in the Southwest Conference.
Did you go to the Cotton Bowl when they played Montana at Notre Dame?
I was already graduated by then. I was watching on TV in Odessa where I was working my first job. That was a miserable game to watch.
Do you watch Landman?
No, I do not.
It's a good show. You should check it out.
Billy, what's his name?
Yeah, they're out in West Texas with the oil fields.
How did we get to that?
Because you said you lived in Odessa.
Well, so?
I have ADHD, Mark.
I'm trying to learn this. One of the UH games at the Cotton Bowl was incredibly cold.
It might have been Maryland.
Maryland or Nebraska. I was not at that one.
I think the one against Maryland was also cold. I think it was Maryland.
I was at that game. I was at the Nebraska game.
So, like, degrees, what was the coldest ever?
I don't know. I guess Green Bay.
Single digits?
I don't know what it was.
Were you outside, or were you in the cozy confines of a press box?
Well, of course I wasn't outside till the end of the game when I was down on the field.
Oh, that's not the same.
Well, of course it's not, but I'm not a player.
So did you see some of or sideline reporter? Sideline reporters have to be out in the cold too, Mark. Don't sleep on sideline reporters and their toughness.
Understood.
Some say sideline reporters have dog in them.
Like you?
With how they handle. I didn't say me. You said that. Those were your words.
Okay.
But Jonathan Alexander, who writes for the Houston Chronicle, does a great job. He was talking to some of these players that, like, what do you do whenever it's very cold to try to prevent you from getting cold? What are some of the preventative measures that you take? Cade Stover lathers his whole body in Vaseline.
Who does?
Cade Stover.
Okay.
Tight end. Which I guess that cuts down on the wind, right? Like, if you had that thick layer of Vaseline on your body, I guess the wind wouldn't affect you much.
Okay,
right?
That sounds kind of weird.
You've never done this?
No.
Why does that sound weird?
I don't know,
these are gladiators, modern day gladiators that are trying to fight through the elements.
Covering yourself in Vaseline?
It prevents the wind from contacting your skin.
Okay.
Nico Collins does it too.
Let's move on.
Nico Collins does it too.
All right. It's gross.
You think it's gross?
Feels like it's gross.
Yeah, it would feel kind of weird. It would feel a little weird. I see where you're coming from now. Danico Autry uses what they call warm skin. You ever heard of that?
No.
Warm skin. I think it's the same thing as Vaseline, except it's not as greasy. It's pretty much the same thought, though, where you're putting on like a thick layer.
Well, they're
going to
need
cream.
A lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be in like the it's kickoff. It's going to be like 25 degrees.
I thought the weather wasn't going to be that bad.
I heard it's going to be sub-freezing temperature up in Kansas City, Missouri.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, so you need some Vaseline. That way you don't allow the wind to get you. And even when you were working, Mark, you were in the cozy confines of the press box.
That's correct.
Taking advantage of the heater that was up in there.
That's correct.
Yeah. So you wouldn't do that if you were a player, huh?
I've never been a player, so I wouldn't know.
What would you do if you were a player, though? It was sub-freezing temperature.
How could I even be hypothetical?
Go back to the glory days.
Okay, I had no glory days. I got cut off every team I ever tried to be on when I was a kid.
What advice would you give to a player that had to go through sub-freezing temperatures?
I wore about 19 layers of clothes when I went to those games.
Yeah. I think layering up is a good idea.
Okay.
Have you lived in Texas your whole life?
Yes, except for 6 miserable weeks in Florida right after college.
What were you doing there?
Well, I got my first job in Odessa, and I made a mistake and took a job in Vero Beach.
Okay.
It was a huge mistake. I was there 6 weeks.
So you went from Odessa to Vero Beach, and you thought it was a mistake?
It was huge. Well, it depends on the job. And I got lucky and got back to Houston real quick.
Okay. I imagine Vero Beach was a little prettier.
I guess. That's where the Dodgers used to train.
You were working too hard?
That's what we did. We covered the Dodgers spring training, which stunk.
So on the way here, Mark, I was listening to a new podcast on the Houston Texans YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
Hannah McNair had a podcast today where she had a little Q&A with Jamila Ryans, who is the wife of D'Amico Ryans. What do you think of owners having podcasts?
I think it's kind of weird.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that?
I don't know. It's just weird. But when you're the owner, you can do what you want.
Yeah, I don't know if I disagree with you. Like, I thought whenever I saw them tweeting it out, I was like, okay, it's kind of odd that an owner has a podcast. You know, like Jerry Jones likes to talk. Jerry Jones would go on
he's the only owner who has his own news conference after games.
And he goes on. He does weekly radio hits at the local radio, their flagship.
In between getting his face worked on.
He's had some work done?
Well,
a little Botox?
Take a look.
Jerry Jones had a little Botox? So you think Hannah McNair interviewing Coach Ryan's wife
talking to Mrs.
Well, you thought it was weird to get a podcast.
Just kind of, but I mean, talking to D'Amico's wife's not weird.
How about Cal's wife? Do you think she's weird?
Cal's wife?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she's weird.
It's
just
weird
think
that she has a podcast.
That just seems weird to me. That's all.
I think it's a little bit self-fulfilling.
What do you call it?
Self-fulfilling.
Okay.
I think it is,
I'm looking
at
the Kansas City weather.
Egotistical, maybe? We've moved past the weather, Mark.
No, I was –
We're on to Hannah and Jamila.
You're right. It's going to be really cold there.
What was that again? I didn't hear you.
It's going to be really cold there.
No, before that, what did you say?
I don't know what I said.
No, I thought it was kind of weird,
too.
Can
we move off Mrs. McNair?
I thought it was
something else.
Why?
I don't know.
Our listeners like talking about Hannah McNair.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if they do,
I agree with you, Mark. I think it's kind of weird. Although
I'm not trying to be negative on this point.
I know you're not. Well, you can if you want. Yeah, I listened to the 35 minutes of it, though, on
the
drive.
Really?
I really did. I listened to it.
How was it?
It was actually very good.
Okay.
It was very good. Like, I really my takeaway from it, I've always been a big fan of D'Amico Ryans. I'm a huge fan. I think he's a great coach. I think he has some, you know, deficiencies as a head coach. They all do. Like, right? Everybody
like
has strengths and weaknesses.
You've done a pretty good job there.
Game management, clock management?
I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but okay.
I think it's his weakness.
You're entitled to your opinion.
I mean, if I had to pick a weakness, I think that's it.
It's going to be a low of 18 in Kansas City.
You're still on the weather.
It's going to be a low of 18 in Kansas City.
Yeah, I thought it was a little self-fulfilling, though, of Hannah McNair to have her own podcast or YouTube channel. That said, I did enjoy the podcast. I think Houston's very lucky to have the Ryans family in Houston. Speaking of the Ryans
family.
Lucky
to have the McNair family here.
A lot of people wanted Cal to sell the team when they were losing.
That's ridiculous. But anyway, go ahead.
They did. Like, when they were losing and he was, like, throwing he had the thumb ring and the handlebar mustache, a lot of people thought he was a buffoon. Couldn't handle the job.
It's easy to do that when they're losing.
It is easy to do when they're losing. And many people forgot about it as soon as they started winning.
That's exactly right.
It's riding the waves of emotion, of being a fan. All right, speaking of DeMeco Ryans, I do think he's a very good coach. I'm going to tell you why whenever we come back. Also, whenever we come back, C.J. Stroud. What do you think C.J. Stroud, Mark?
What do I think?
Rhetorical for the moment. I'll get your thoughts on the other side.
Okay.
Where do you think C.J. Stroud ranks amongst the quarterbacks in the NFL? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2 live from East River 9 inside the Riverhouse. If you haven't heard about Higgins Boat Rum, you need to. It is rum on a mission. It is fantastic. It is delicious. It is very good. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It's why I love it. It's why I fell in love with it so quickly. It's bold. It is smooth. It's also steeped in history. Honors the greatest generation. Higgins Boat Rum's perfect to sip neat, perfect on the rocks, perfect on a big rock. It's perfect for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. I've been drinking my old-fashioned with it. I love it. I hear the Manhattan with it's very good. The classics. Maybe it's a little too cold to have the pina colada, the Mai Tai, maybe. Cuba Libre, though, still very good. How about your eggnog? Higgins Boat Rum is perfect with them all. Also, Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every pour. Also, Higgins Boat Rum uses that Percedo craft technology that we've all learned about and love. Makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors and aromas, while also removing the harsh elements. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their social media accounts. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas, behind-the-scenes stories, live updates. It's a premium top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now, Total Wine in Baybrook or Pearland, or always at HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the U.S. at HigginsBoatRum.com. Bring home a bottle of courage.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Always nice inside the River House at East River 9. Get your golfing done here. They got some pickleball. They got the full driving range. Can work on your game, and always a great spot for a drink and a bite. Mark Berman hanging out with us. I dragged him out of retirement to take the spot of Joe George. What do you think of Joe George not willing to do 7 hours of radio today?
I can't blame him, but I'm still retired. I didn't drag out anything. I'm still retired. I'm just here.
I dragged you out of the house.
That's a fact.
Dragged you out of the house. But at least I got your high beams fixed?
Low beams.
Low beams fixed?
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. So I think DeMeco Ryan's a good coach. I've heard some people say throughout this year, Mark, that like DeMeco's overrated. He's not a good coach. A lot of people saw the start, like, hey, they're not doing well. It's because DeMeco's not a good coach. I don't know how you can look at DeMeco, who's won two division titles in his only two seasons as a head coach, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, the Texans won 11 games in the previous 3 years before he got here, and look at DeMeco as a bad coach. And then, oh, yeah, whenever they're in an 0-3 hole and things aren't looking good, here they are all of a sudden making noise in the AFC. I think it's a bad take saying DeMeco's not a good coach.
It's a terrible take. It's a short-sighted take.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of like prisoner of the moment. Like everybody kind of – and look, I mean, I understand
that's how people react. That's what fans do.
It is. Yeah, you see, like you're kind of – a prisoner of the moment. Things are bad right now. Everything's awful. Everything's the worst. Oh, things are good. Everything's great. Everything's always wonderful. And the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. And look, every coach has their weaknesses. Every coach has their strengths. I think DeMeco's strength is leadership. I think he's really good at building a culture. I think he's a fantastic defensive mind, even though he's not calling plays right now. Burke is calling plays right now. But I think Ryan's is great at the game planning aspect of it, getting the guys ready to go. Mentioned what I think one of his weaknesses is. I do think that clock management and game management is a weakness for DeMeco. I think he's below average there. But in the totality of just coaches around the NFL, I don't know how you can look at DeMeco Ryans and not think that he's a good coach.
Well, I don't, you know, it's kind of like when a quarterback throws an interception and you don't know whose fault it is. It could be the quarterback, could be the receiver, it could be the guy supposed to be chipping, didn't do a good job blocking, got rushed. I mean, so I don't know if DeMeco's clock management, it's on him. Or it's all people around him,
yeah.
Or people who work with him, communication issues of some sort. And it falls. It's on his watch. So people want to blame him. All I know is they've come from nowhere to be in the conversation to make the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I think the job he's
and
done
they did
this
it with a backup. They did it with a backup quarterback.
Yep.
And a really, really, and they lost one of their top running backs, right? Or Mixon. They lost him. Right.
Which, that's curious how he got hurt.
Well, nobody seems to know what happened. Which
is
amazing. I haven't got a clue, but it's amazing. No one has uncovered what it is. Even at the national level, nobody has. They've kept that under wraps, which is really hard to do.
You remember at the start of the season, whenever DeMeco got mad at like people for like, hey, these reports are out there. You're not looking out for the best interest of the player. You remember that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Well, I mean, the reporter's job's not to look out for the best interest of anybody.
Yeah.
Just to do the job, but he's being protective of his own. So I get it, but it's not the reporter's job to look out for anybody.
I get it from both aspects of it. Like, I completely agree with you on, like, the reporter side of it. Like, that's not their job. Their job is to uncover news.
But the fact that whatever happened to him has not come out is amazing.
Yeah. You like gossip?
Well,
there's been some junkies that give us idea. What's wrong with Joe Mixon? 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. We had a junkie that thought he got into a motorcycle accident that hurt his foot.
I do not know.
I'm just telling you what theory that's out there. Motorcycle accident, dragged his foot during the motorcycle accident. That's just a theory from the junkies, Joe. Or Mark, almost. I called you Joe. I can't get Joe out of my mind. A random question from a lifelong Texan. How do they handle the water bottles in the freezing cold?
Do what now?
The water bottles. I'm assuming he means not plastic water bottles. Like those Gatorade bottles. The way that I've always seen it done is it's in those coolers, and it doesn't freeze up because those coolers are pretty good at, like, you know, insulation. You know anything different on that? I don't think that they worry about it. I don't think it freezes up. I think they put it in the big Gatorade stuff. The Gatorade stuff then gets poured into, like, a little, you know, squeezable bottle, and I don't think it ever actually freezes. It's always been my view on it anyways. Someone said Joe Mixon went on a peyote trip with Aaron Rodgers and hasn't come down yet. See? It's the gossip that's out there. You don't like gossip.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not reading this one from this junkie, though. I'll tell you about it during the break, Mark. You might not be happy about it. Berman is awesome. Met him once at Spring Creek Barbecue in Humboldt, Atascocita while I was door dashing during COVID. There you go.
Who was door dashing? I don't door dash.
One of the junkies. Oh, they say saw you while he was door dashing.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I go
awesome.
To Spring Creek a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What do you get there?
Barbecue.
What protein? What's your choice? I know you get barbecue, Mark.
Blended
You're not getting pizza when you go there.
Blended sliced beef.
Blended sliced beef?
That's what they call it, blended, right.
So you get the brisket?
Why are we discussing what I eat?
You brought it up earlier.
Or
you said you're losing a bunch of weight.
Well, that's
not
exactly
eating.
Right. Just the opposite, what I don't eat.
How many hours does Mark spend at the airport waiting for a story? He's basically qualified to be a TSA agent at this point.
When I was working, many hours, but not anymore.
Yeah.
It's a good place to get a guy. They're captive once they get off the plane.
That's true.
Trust
What's the longest you've waited for somebody?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I've been there for hours. Hours, especially when their planes get diverted or it's delayed.
Yeah. Tip of the cap to that. A lot of our junkies are being perverted right now, Mark.
That's all right. I don't care.
With the Joe – I can't read it on the air.
Well, you can tell me during the commercials or something.
Yeah. Mark seems very irritated by Jeremy. Mark, are you irritated by me?
Not at all.
There you go. Not at all. 713-780-3776. So – a lot of conversation with C.J. Stroud. Like, had a really good rookie year, and it's like, where is he going to go from here? Is he going to be a top three quarterback, top five quarterback, top 15 quarterback? And I still think very highly of C.J. Stroud. I still think he's very good. I think maybe some of the luster, at least in, like, how high you're willing to go with C.J. Stroud, might have lessened a little bit. Like, if the Athletic has their weekly quarterback rankings, they listed C.J. Stroud at 18. This is behind Bryce Young, by the way, behind Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams. NFL.com, Nick Shook does his weekly rankings. And look, I think that Stroud's being dinged a little bit here because he hasn't played in a while, and this was his first game back. And a little shaky in the first half, although I thought he played really, really good in the second half. The one from NFL.com has C.J. Stroud all the way down at 24. They have him behind the likes of Marcus Mariota. Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett.
That's ridiculous.
So the national media is not that high on C.J. Stroud currently. Uh-huh. If you were to blind rank everybody's starting quarterback, let's assume healthier, like some guys are hurt, but where just like very broad picture do you think C.J. Stroud ranks amongst NFL quarterbacks?
Oh, I don't know enough about the other guys.
Okay, middle of the pack, top half.
I don't think there's 23 guys better than him.
I think this is way too low. Way too low. So whenever
he hasn't been what he was his first year. Right?
Why do you think that's the case?
I think everybody knows he had the offensive line had a lot of issues, and if you don't have time, you can't be who you are. Right.
Okay.
So there's a lots more to it than that. Obviously, and I don't know that. I don't watch enough that closely to know. But he just hasn't been what he was the first year. But there's a lot of reasons for it. Maybe not all of them are his fault.
Yeah. Statistically, you're right. He hasn't been who he was his rookie season. If you were trying to pinpoint one thing specifically as to why.
Offensive line.
What's weird about the offensive line, though, is that it was kind of a collection of misfits that rookie year. Like the name value that rookie season, the offensive line wasn't wonderful. It wasn't great. But they produced at a pretty good level.
Yeah. Tunsil on one side, Titus on the other, right?
I think he was hurt for a little bit, though.
Okay, there you go.
No, his rookie year, though.
Oh, you're talking about the offensive line?
Yeah, like it wasn't a great-looking offensive line.
Okay.
I think this offensive line's gotten better this year. They've done a better job. They're on the way up. Everybody's saying it. The Athletic's saying it. NFL.com is saying it. I'm saying it. They've improved better, though. Like, you look at some of these metrics, and, like, they're in the top 20 now. Which last year they were like in the bottom three, bottom five. They've produced better, and then people are loving the whole Trent Brown at right tackle. Ed Ingram's healthy again. You move Titus Howard to left guard. Like this is the best the offensive line has looked like in the last 2 years. They can protect. I think you could throw for some yards behind this offensive line.
I'm not an athlete.
You can throw for some. All right, 713-780-3776. We like to do a thing on this show, Mark, where we talk about how much is this coach speak. We play audio from coaches around the NFL. We're going to hear from Steve Spagnuolo, who's the defensive coordinator for Kansas City, Matt Nagy, who's the offensive coordinator from Kansas City, and then on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are they coach speaking, right? Like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Obviously, it's a 10, right? Like, these coaches, they lie. Coaches lie at press conferences?
Lie, stretch the truth.
Stretch the truth. Like, have you ever heard a coach talk poorly about the opponent they're about to play?
Well, of course not.
Have they ever been like, hey, you're playing this team this week, and the coach be like, yeah, this is the worst team we have on our schedule
it's the entire year.
It's like going to
a coach on National Signing Day, and every player he's got's going to win the Heisman.
Exactly. So the coach speak, you're getting the idea here. How much of this stuff is coach speak? Coach speak scale with Jeremy and Joe with Mark Berman filling in as we broadcast live from the East River 9 River House on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a phenomenal culture. And tis the season for savings, too. With the year coming to an end, Monument Chevrolet is clearing inventory. Now is the time to get an unbeatable deal on the vehicle you want. Get this. Monument Chevrolet's 12 Days of Christmas starts very soon. Beginning a week from today, each day an unbeatable deal will be offered on a specific model, and we're talking crazy deals. The lowest prices of the entire year, but here's the catch. The offers will be valid for one day only. Daily specials will be posted on social media and monumentchevrolet.com, so be sure to follow and keep up to date with Monument Chevrolet to see all the specials. Get a fair deal, a transparent deal, and a great deal this Christmas season with Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Check them out online for the full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com, or just go visit them in person. They'd love to see you. 225 and Bellway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe today. He's a bum. Couldn't work more than one show. Mark, what was the longest day you've ever put in? How many hours?
Are you kidding?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah, well, I'd walk out of the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and get home at midnight. What's that? That happened a lot.
16 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Joe couldn't work 7. Joe can't pick up your jock.
When you're trying to cover an entire city and you're worried sick 24-7, that's what happens.
And he was late to the other show you had today.
Well, you keep talking about this guy. Okay, right.
Joe.
He was late?
Yeah. His show was from 11 to 3. He didn't show up till 12, and he bailed on me.
Can't be late.
Which I'm happy that he bailed on me, though.
Okay.
Because now I get to sit next to you. Mark Berman filling in for Joe George. We're inside the River House.
For free.
What's that?
For free.
No, it's not for free. We'll pay you.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. Send me your Social Security number and all of your bank accounts and all that stuff. I am sincere, though. It's not for free. This sounds like a bad first date. Mark is the girl that didn't want to go on the date, but her friends talked her into it because you're a nice guy. No one's called me a nice guy, though. And this isn't the first time Mark and I have sat down and talked. Mark and I sit down and talk a lot.
I interviewed you a couple times on the road.
You did, yeah. Yeah, that made me uncomfortable, by the way. I don't know if you remember the first time we met, though.
I don't.
It was at a Wendy's next to U of H's campus.
You're making this up.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Jeff Conrad was there. Your cameraman.
Jeff Conrad, PR guy for UH basketball.
Yes. I think TJ Megger? I don't know how to say his last
TJ
name.
TJ
was there? Yeah.
I know you're talking about.
I think he was there. And then your camera guy.
Okay.
I'm blanking on his name. His son's the pitcher. He pitched it.
Oh, that's Richard Valdez.
Richard Valdez.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It was,
right.
It was
right.
Those three, you and me, and okay. we were at a Wendy's near U of H's campus.
Okay.
And you picked up the tap, by the way. Thank you, Mark.
I did.
You did, yeah.
I probably expensed it.
And you would say that you would like to take care of your guys because the quickest way for them to do something for you is through their bellies.
The quickest way to a photographer's heart is through his stomach.
There you
that's
go.
Exactly right.
See? Does it sound like I'm making this up?
No.
There you go.
Okay. I didn't say you were making it up. I just don't remember.
I have a very bad
memory.
I was very young.
And
was,
you were in school?
Yeah. It was probably about like 75 pounds ago. Much more handsome.
Maybe me
then.
Too.
You went the other way.
Exactly.
713-780-3776. A couple of texts. Stroud is soft, gets a concussion, and misses a month. Justin Herbert's out there playing with a broken rib. What do you think about that, Mark? That C.J. Stroud is
wait,
soft.
Wait a minute. You're going to call a guy soft because he has a concussion.
I didn't call him soft. The junkie did.
Well, he should be disqualified as a junkie. That's a joke.
It's kind of a junkie take, though.
Well, it's stupid.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. He's stupid. Having two ADHD guys trying to talk sports is hilarious, as Wheat Straw. Do you have ADHD?
No, but I've never been diagnosed that, but it makes some sense.
I have ADHD.
I believe it.
Thanks. Joe Mixon robbed a commercial airliner that was flying over the Pacific Northwest and then ejected mid-flight with a parachute never to be seen again. So that's one theory on the whereabouts of Joe Mixon. Someone else, Stroud is top half of the NFL but not top 10. You think that's fair? Top half of the NFL, but not top 10. So somewhere between 11 and 16.
I guess so. I mean, but again, we don't know how much of this is him and how much of it's what's going on around him.
All right.
Okay, let's be honest. You don't know the whole story. I don't.
No one does.
That's right.
We're all – although I have seen Joe Mixon around. Like, his whereabouts have been seen.
Yeah,
he's been in the suite for a couple of games. He was also enjoying some barbecue with a couple of teammates, I think, during their bye week.
So
he's been seen. He didn't get ejected over the, ocean.
That was that's just nonsense, nonsensical gossip.
That's what we do here. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We got the icon Mark Berman with us, and joining us now on the HRMP listener line, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, John McClain, the general on the line. What's up, John McClain? How you doing?
Jeremy, Mark Berman has turned down so many opportunities to do talk shows, and he's really cheap. And I'm wondering how much you had to pay to get him on there.
Just this fancy bottle of water.
John, I thought you were going to come back with a really good question. You're going to come back with a really good question.
Anytime.
John, what happened to your Twitter, man?
Well, I got that. Man, I'm back. I want to say something to that geranium brain that just texted about C.J. Stroud. Stroud, when you have a concussion, it's not up to you when you go back. Stroud didn't want to go out. That's up to the doctors. The team doctors determine that, not a player, so the guy would get his facts right before he sends out a sounds like such a nincompoop. Anyway, Berman, you guys are doing a great job. Killer Bees, too. And I think, Mark, you're doing a terrific job like you always do. Even though opinion's not your specialty, Scoops are. I've had several people text me saying, you know Scoop is on 97.5? I said, I sure do. I'm listening.
Appreciate it, General. Radio or Pro Football Hall of Famer, John McClain. You guys go way back.
More often.
Yeah, I try to.
He loves it.
Berman blows me off at least three or four times for every time I get him on. He almost bailed on me this morning because it was high beams.
Low beams. He blows me off more times than I can count.
I'm just going to say high beams for the rest of the show.
On the games?
Yeah, Berman thinks they're going to win by seven.
Mark, have you given your predictions?
John, can you hear me?
By seven, huh?
John, can you hear me? Why are you picking the Chiefs by three? Why are you being Mr. Negative?
Because I picked the Chiefs because I think they're going to win. Texans haven't won up there since 2019, and I think Patrick Mahomes, with his back to the wall, knowing that if their season's over if they lose, will somehow find a way to win the game. We know the Texans aren't going to score many points because they never score many points unless they're playing a defense that's been ravaged by injuries. But could they win? Sure, they could win. If they win for their fifth in a row, it's going to be seven in a row because they play two of the worst teams in the league, Cardinals and the Raiders, coming in the next 2 weeks. I think even if they lose this, they'll still finish 10-7, beating the Cardinals, the Raiders, and in the last game against the Colts.
John, do you think players lie about concussions, though? Hold on. I want to push back a little bit on the concussion thing, because I think players a lot of times lie about the fact that they don't have a concussion when they actually do.
No, they do. They're not supposed to do that anymore. It's not as bad as it used to be because you can get in a lot of trouble from the league if they find out you have. It's not like Case Keenum 1 year when he hit his head. Everybody saw it. Staggered into the tent, staggered out of the tent, and the Rams let him keep playing. You don't have that situation anymore. Yeah. But for anybody who thinks players determine that they stay out of games, that's not the case.
Right, yeah. I think they can kind of lie about their symptoms, but I agree with that last part. What were you going to ask us, John? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, that's all right. I was thinking about questions for Mark, and I started thinking about the Astros because spring training comes up in February. The winter meetings are next week, and I've read deep dives in The Athletic and ESPN, and the Astros get no mention, either one, except former Astros pitcher Framber Valdez. I'm infuriated at Mauricio Dubon trade. What do you guys think?
Well, I was quite frankly shocked. I didn't understand it at all, other than the fact that it's a monetary situation. They want to allocate funds to get more pitching, but they haven't gotten more pitching yet. That was a stunner to me.
I wasn't surprised by it. Appreciate you calling, John. It's good to hear from you. I hope everything's going well. We'll catch up soon. He's not going to play much. Like, you have a surplus of position players. You have a surplus of infielders. You have a surplus of outfielders. Mauricio Dubon wasn't going to play more than 40 games.
One reporter told me that if they're healthy, you're right. But he always finds a way to get himself on the field.
He does. But
he's won two gold gloves in the past 3 years.
He can't hit a lick, though.
He's won two gold gloves in the past 3 years.
That's cool. What does that do in the batter's box?
Well, I'm talking about his defense.
But that's not the full game, though. Like, he's getting 400 plate appearances a year. You can't talk about only his defense.
Let's see what they get to replace him.
They got Nick the Stick Allen, who's the worst offensive player in baseball.
Right.
Nick the Stick. He's going to save the day. But they don't want to, like,
but you know what? Hold on. Let me tell you something. Whatever the Astros are doing, give me a break on the criticism, because look at what they've done in the past.
You're criticizing.
No, I know that. But in general, the last 7 or 8 years, what they've done and how they've done it with Jim Crane's leadership has been remarkable.
Yeah.
Okay? Build a statue of the man out there at Daikin Park.
I have a question for you on the other side. We'll do coach speak later. I want you to answer this on the other side, so I'll give you a few minutes to think about it. Do you think that Jim Crane meddled too much when they didn't have a general manager one offseason? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Mark Berman inside of East River 9, inside the River House on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN
97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.